Oil Radio on Siren Radio with Natalie Hayes Cowley and some of the finest theatricals on the planet.
It's Siren Radio. I'm Chris Johnson, and you have ears. Enjoy.
Thank you, Chris. I don't know, he keeps trying to get the build his part. Is it not enough he does his pantomime stuff? But we have got two fabulous folk from the New Theatre Royal Lincoln with us because it is Royal Radio, as you've just heard. We have the fabulous Ollie. How are you, Ollie?
I'm good, thanks, Alex. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I mean, good. It's that kind of time of the year where one looks ahead and we see the joy of the 1st of July just around the corner, and, of course, the 2nd of July, when, of course, you will be able to hear Sherry at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, won't you, Alex?
Yes, yeah. Funky is coming on Saturday 2nd. It should be a fantastic show, actually.
Celebrating the songs and music of Frankie Valli, the song entitled Frankie. Are tickets still available? I mean, we're fairly close to that now, so is it...
Yep, you can book up until, 2 seconds before the show, and we do have enough left.
Yeah. Well, we thought, actually, in terms of Sherry, it was the sort of thing that maybe Agatha Christie would have poisoned in one of her particular tasks, really. So we thought we'd roll that out there because we have not one but two extra special guests that we're hopefully going to be featuring in this edition of Royal Radio, one of which obviously connects with the perfect Agatha Christie murder mystery. And this is, again, something which is occurring under the line on the 6th of July and the 7th of July. Who killed Agatha Christie?
Oof, twist there.
Yeah, who killed Agatha Christie? This is a comedy thriller written by Tudor Gates. We're going to find out more about that in a matter of moments. Also coming up on the show, we have Country with a major C-O-U-N-T-R-Y, specifically One Night in Texas, I believe.
That's right, yeah. Here, later, 19th of July, off the top of my head. I should probably know that. It is the 19th of July, so yeah, chatting to somebody else, Deanne, later on.
I know, it's astonishing. Ollie doesn't have instant recall of every particular alliance there. It's amazing stuff. Of course, we've also got on the 1st of July, when music comes back with a full vengeance, of course, Barry Steele and Friends singing the Roy Orbison story.
Yes, Barry, actually, he lived in Lincoln for a few years. Yeah. I think he was in the RAF and he drove lorries around Lincoln and stuff, so he's really happy to be coming back. It's almost like a homecoming for him. So,
and he won't be running scared.
Just running scared, each place we go, so afraid that he might show you're running scared. What would I do if he came back and wanted you? Just run and scare, feeling low. Run and scare, you loved him so.
Running scared if you had murdered Agatha Christie. But who did actually murder? Who killed Agatha Christie? Well, the best person to actually talk to about the fantastic production, which again coming to Lincoln on the 6th of July 2022, who can we actually welcome to the program, Royal Radio, to actually talk about this? Ollie,
this is John Goodrum, who will be starring in the show next week,
starring and doing all sorts of other marvelous things. John Goodrum, welcome back to Royal Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. Hello, Ollie. Nice to be here.
We also have Alex in the studio as well, so it's like a Lincoln New Theatre Royal celebration of joys here. It's great. That's not we have two Alexes. It's Alex squared. Sorry, I need to make that quite clear.
I'm just confused.
So used to Zoom, where we can see people these days, that you think it's a telephone. What strange Agatha Christie thing is this? How amazing! This is a murder. Oh, it's a comedy thriller, basically written by Tudor Gates. Previously performed, of course, in London's West End. Would you like to just share with us the kind of generic overall line of indeed this perfect Agatha, in inverted commas, Christie murder mystery?
Yes, certainly. As you say, it's a comedy thriller, and it's very much a thriller in the sort of slightly more modern sleuth type thriller, of very clever situation that gradually unfolds and nobody knows quite what's going on or who's who, as opposed to the old real traditional Agatha Christie whodunits, where you get a murder at the beginning and the whole thing is solving actually who did it. It's just great fun, and I play a character called John Terry, who is actually rather like myself. It could be typecasting. He's a jobbing actor and also a bit of a playwright. But he's hatching this little plot with a very famous theatre critic in the play called Arthur Christie. But of course, because his surname's Christie, everybody nicknames him Agatha Christie. And the whole play is a little gentle journey through the relationship between these two and who's telling the truth and who isn't telling the truth and what actually happens in the end.
Certainly looks as though it's going to be gripping in so many ways, and again, we'll play upon people's concerns and such like. I mean, let's mention, of course, the fact it's directed by Karen Henson. You, as you've rightly said, John, portray John Terry, not the footballer of the same name, in case people are sort of thinking, oh, yeah.
No, exactly, yes. Well, that wouldn't be my skill at all, so that wouldn't be typecasting in any way. As you said, the play was originally done in the West End in the mid-1970s. James Bolam, I think, played the part of the John Terry. And, of course, John Terry wasn't a footballer then, was he? Well, he a very young one, if he was. Mm. So, yes, But we thought about changing the name, but it's generic to the play. So
you can't just change the name on the basis of a Chelsea player.
It wasn't that big a deal, was it?
No, exactly.
I just like the fact that the action takes place in an Earl's Court flat, Act 1, A Dull Day.
Yes.
It's nice the way you've overselled it. You really hyped up the whole process. Yeah, Act 1, A Dull Day. Act 2, Scene 1, A Few Moments Later. Act 2, Scene 2, A Few Moments Later. Time 1978.
Yes. It's, well, that just tells it. The action is continuous, as they say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that undersells it a bit. It's quite atmospheric. It starts late afternoon, so the lights are on, but we're sort of aware of this dull day outside. But as the action progresses, we get darker and darker and darker until the electric lights inside take over, get turned on and off, and all sorts of spooky happenings.
Now, we mentioned that Karen Hansen's directed this. She's also, I believe, appearing in it as well. So was there any kind of schizophrenic moment where she was playing Joanne Terry and saying, oh, I'm going to direct myself as Joanne Terry now? So does that work okay?
Yes, that works fine. Karen, who also, incidentally, no nepotism here, happens to be my wife, she runs Tabs Productions, and she's directed this one. There's a couple of characters in it, Brian and Joanne, who are only actually heard on tape. Which is not giving too much of the play away, I don't think.
Having said that, voice direction can be problematic. I mean, at the best of times.
Yeah.
I mean, at the start of this show today, we already had to coax Ollie in how to actually do a good Natalie Hayes Cowley impersonation.
I'm sure he's been doing that for years.
Well, it's a way forward. Of course, in 1978, John, you were back in 1978. Any particular fond memories of that? Or was it a case of, well, we love it. It was Callahan, Winter of Discontent. It's, you know, we're supposed to be back in the 70s now. What better way to celebrate that than, you know, featuring this Who Killed Agatha Christie production?
Exactly. It was, well, in 1978 one of my second years at university, way back then. So I remember it rather fondly. It was sort of a time of just, spreading my wings and going to the theatre in London a lot.
Receiving a grant without having any fees to worry about, no student debt,
all those things. Yes, well, yes, what was that all about?
Education is a good thing. Outrageous, John. This
Absolutely.
Is amazing.
Absolutely.
You are, of course, the founder of Rumpus Theatre Company. I just love the name. RTC, Rumpus Theatre Company.
Why not?
And you've produced so many marvellous things over the years. The Black Veil, The Signalman and The Pit, and The Pendulum, of course.
Yep.
That's two separate things, in case you're wondering. It's not The Signalman and The Pit. No. It's the Conway symbol, The Signalman, separate, The Pit and The Pendulum.
Although, you've given me an idea.
Yeah, exactly. You know, mash-up plays from that point of view.
Exactly.
All sorts of other areas.
Yeah.
And, of course, you were touring Whistle and I'll Come to You last autumn.
Yeah.
We've put COVID to one side. How do you feel as though we're back to where we were pre-COVID, or is there still that sense of uncertainty?
I think we're still on the way. I think a lot's happened. But since sort of about this time last year, when we were allowed to sort of go into theatres again, and we started touring our production of Father Brown, The Murder in the Mirror, which actually did come to Lincoln.
Yes, I remember speaking to you about it. Tragically, I wasn't able to get there myself, but it was good. It was good.
Good fun. And those, we haven't actually stopped producing since then, so it's been really excellently busy, which is very encouraging. I think audiences are still just a little reluctant to come back to the theatre in the kind of numbers they were, pre-COVID. Yeah. Especially the more drama audience, who maybe tend to be slightly more middle-aged and older audience. They need a little bit more encouraging. So anything we can do to say this is a lovely, safe place to come, and all precautions have been taken, come back and enjoy yourself like you used to. Anything we can do in that department is excellent.
You did, of course, attend the University of Bristol, where you studied drama and music from that point of view. And is it true, John, that actually you particularly remember the excitement of Sheila Hancock and Stratford Johns turning up at the Victoria Palace in London for Annie? Was that a kind of highlight for yourself?
Well, that was one of my university and having finished college holiday jobs, was pushing scenery about At the Victoria Palace on Annie, which was enjoying a really long run then. And I remember, yes, when I was first there, it had just opened, and Stratford John's was Oliver Warbucks, and Sheila Hancock was playing Miss Hannigan. Both wonderful and a thoroughly excellent experience to start me off. But there'd always be a group of autograph hunters around the stage door, obviously waiting for them when they came out. But Stratford John's and Sheila were completely eclipsed when John Thor would roar up in his Jag.
Shut it!
Yes, exactly. Everybody turned the other way.
A Sweeney moment.
And lost interest in them altogether.
Of course, Alex, you're far too young to remember the Sweeney. It's a piece of televisual history. You probably say, John Thor, was that Inspector Morse? And probably too young to remember Inspector Morse as well.
Goes completely over my head, I'm afraid.
Completely. You script the whole thing, Ollie, and you just don't know where we're going on this. Ollie, any questions you'd like to put to our main man at present?
I'm just kind of intrigued, really, John. Obviously, you spent a lot of your year producing, directing shows. When it comes to something like this with Tabs Production, do you kind of just let Karen do it, or is it kind of like a collaborative effort, or do you kind of just sit back and just say, you know what, this is yours?
It is still very much collaborative, actually, because as you say, I run Rumpus and Karen runs Tabs, which were both started independently sometime, you know, years ago, but now we tend very much to work for each other. But the nice thing is that whichever umbrella it's under, that's kind of who's in charge on that one. It takes any arguments away, really. So if it's a Rumpus one, Karen kind of does what I say, and if it's a Tabs one, then I am subservient, of course, and do as I'm told, with only a little argument. But Karen's brilliant. She always gets involved in our ones as directing and acting sometimes, but very much on the sort of costume side of things, whereas I'm more involved in the set and lighting side on both. But yes, collaborative, but with distinct authority on depending on which one it is.
Healthy.
I think congratulations as well for the fact that August 2022 we'll be seeing your Tabs Productions 169th production.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Pretty good.
That's really good.
Very impressive. But David, we need to give you a musical choice, because when you were in the university, again in Bristol in the late 70s, flares, long hair and sideburns, riding on your 1964 X-Mod Lambretta.
if only.
You had a whole range of possible pop artists: Status Quo, 10cc, Yes, Genesis, Fleetwood Mac, ABBA, The Beach Boys, Bee Gees, Blondie, Elton John. Which one would you like us to go for now, and then see which choice you'd like to make for your musical selection?
Okay. So I'm thinking of one, am I? Yes. Mm-hmm. Righty-ho. Well, I suppose it would be Mr. Blue Sky, or am I in the right era then? I think I am, very much so.
Yeah, so you've gone for Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah.
And Mr. Blue Sky. We're just seeing if the computer device system here has got the system in.
Sure.
And I can, of course, exactly.
I mean, unlikely not.
I mean, would we have ever been able to have looked Jeff?
Oh, come on.
Exactly.
No.
Bev Bevan, you know, the drummer extra, Mick Kaminsky, I mean, Electric Light Orchestra, clearly. Alex, Electric, they were a band, okay? Okay,
so yes.
It's very important. How can people actually get tickets for Who Killed Agatha Christie, please, Alex?
Yep, you can either call our box office between 10 and 4 on weekdays, or if you want to pop into the theatre, if you're local, we're open most show days. Or you can pop online as well on our website, and you can browse through everything then as well, and you'll end up adding tons of shows to your basket, because there's just so many that you'll want to see.
There are, quite literally. I mean, it's if John wasn't on tour doing various other things, he'd just stay in Lincoln and just sort of continually sort of just gorge on
I'd be there.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the classic things. A Cunning Thriller by Tudor Gates. Got to ask the question, John, is that a made-up name?
Tudor Gates? No. No, it isn't.
Wow.
I mean, he actually was he was quite famous in the 60s and 70s. He wrote an awful lot of scripts for Hammer horror films.
His brother Bill, I was thinking, you know, for a moment there. And to do other great things, but never mind.
Yes, exactly. And he did indeed write The Sweeney as well.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's a strange but bizarre and somewhat perfect world. Would you, I could actually ask you to do this in character, John, if you wish, as the character of John Turry. Would you like to introduce Electric Light Orchestra and Mr. Blue Sky?
Ooh, well, yes.
In fact, I can even get you to talk over the intro. So in your own time, away you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Terry here. My career's been quite successful, but I'd like it to be more so, and I need to talk to the critic who's criticised me on many occasions. Here we go with the Electric Light Orchestra and Mr. Blue Sky.
Why you had to hide away for so long? Where did we go wrong? Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long? Where did we go wrong?
Very tempting to talk over the end piece of the music, and it's not always dreadful when stations do that, but you know, it's New Theatre Royal Lincoln. Royal Radio is what you're listening to, and it is always a blue sky when you go to the New Theatre Royal, because that's what it is, you know. It's proscenium arch, everything is good, everything is wonderful. There's a variety show coming up on the 9th of July, I see. That's going to be very exciting.
Yes, that's for our stage school, so if there's any budding actors and actresses out there, we actually have our own stage school, so get in touch with us. They've got their own Facebook page, or jump on our website, and they'll be able to give you some more information on how you can get involved with that next academic year, I suppose.
It's like a one-stop shop in so many ways. Dance, of course, I can tell clearly, Alex, you're a keen dancer, because you're always keen to get the TikTok videos out there and strike the pose. But Rhythm of the Dance is with us. Any information you'd like to share about the Rhythm of the Dance?
Yeah, I mean, massively popular show, and with good reason as well. It's so slick, it's so polished, it's a fantastic show, and obviously kind of showcasing the best of Irish dance. Very much not something that I would be doing, because I cannot kick my legs that high to save my life. But yeah,
I'm sure if you were motivated. I mean, Natalie actually said you will do this. You know, you go that far.
I'd give it a good go. Yeah. It wouldn't look quite as good as Rhythm of the Dance will, but it wouldn't be far behind. But yeah, it should be a fantastic show and just a really great production as well. The way they've put it together is fantastic.
So we asked the question, obviously, of our first guest in terms of John Goodrum, how he was feeling in terms of the post-COVID world. Is it a situation back to normal, or are we still sort of saying people are still a little bit concerned about making that sort of final journey into Lincoln? Or is it just a case of it's a cost of living crisis, don't
well,
you know?
I think actually at the moment it's kind of the latter. I think most people now are in a position where they feel comfortable to come out again. And we, of course, do all we can to make people feel comfortable in the theatre so that we've still got hand sanitizer all around the venue. People are welcome to wear masks if they like, all that kind of thing. But yeah, I think just over the last couple of months, I think it's hitting us all hard, isn't it? I think we all have to make cutbacks. So I think people are having to make that difficult decision what to do with this.
But really, if it's a choice between, I don't know, having a meal or going to the new theatre or Lincoln, you've got
it's
to,
not a hard choice.
No,
is it?
I mean, it's the NTR all the way, surely. Psychology of Serial Killers, one that I must admit I'm probably not likely to attend, but there is a fascination with this because you got all of the nefarious, infamous, I think. I won't say all the great, all the infamous folk who actually are there. You know, the Hindleys, the range of the people that are actually there. Why? I mean, is there a message that you're putting out here?
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because every time you go on Netflix at the minute as well, there are just hundreds of documentaries based on this morbid obsession that we all seem to have with serial killers and, you know, people that have got away as con artists and things. It's that morbid obsession of something we can't understand but are so interested by. And I mean, we've only got, I think, 3 single seats left for this show, which really says something.
Yeah. Says a lot about our society, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Jennifer Rees is the forensics lecturer who's actually going to be exploring one of forensic psychology's most troubling topics. And we'll be talking BTK. That's Bind, Torture and Kill.
Ooh. Sounds light and fun, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking it's not necessarily what you actually want for the pantomime, is it, really?
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, unless you really want to address that
as well.
But what are the differences between lust killers like the BTK, Bind, Torture and Kill, and visionary killers such as David Berkowitz and Son of Sam? Yeah, it's...
I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, cracking my A-level psychology out here right now. It is quite interesting learning about these people and kind of like the psychology that goes into it. I think the show is going to touch on like how some people even fall in love with serial killers and kind of get into their minds and why that might be the case. So I get why people find it interesting.
Yeah, you can't take your eyes away from it.
Yeah.
You're drawn in instantly.
Have you ever written to a serial killer, Alex?
No, I haven't had a pen pal serial killer.
Glad to hear that. Yeah, I mean, I realise that's a bit of a loaded question there in more ways than one.
I'm just starting to wheel away slightly.
It's just, you know, important line from that. But as we said, pretty much a sellout, so that's already gone and sort of through. But let's move on to what we'll be talking about in our next segment, of course, which is One Night in Texas. Why are we getting Charlene Spiteri to talk about her Glasgow band? No, that's Texas the Band. This is something completely different.
Just a bit different.
Always got to clarify these things because you never know. Just as there might be people signing up for the Agatha Christie murder mystery and they say, but where's John Turry? Where is he? Where's the Chelsea Supremo? Anyway, they probably said the same when he was playing for England as well. To begin to introduce the line of One Night in Texas, though, this is actually Alex's choice, and you've gone Carrie Underwood. Well, I say it's your choice. I mean, in the end, you wanted a different Carrie Underwood number, but we've gone for Church Bells. Any rationale for this one?
I mean, it's one of those country songs, all of her songs are, where you just kind of start tapping your feet and then you realise that you're dancing along and singing along to the entire thing. And that's just the greatness of country music, isn't it?
Jenny grew up wild like a Blackfoot daisy, out in the shack with a blue tick hound. Broke as hell, but blessed with beauty, the kind that a rich man can't turn down. She caught the eye of an oil man dancing one summer night in a dime store dress. She had the looks, he had the mansion, and you can figure out the rest. It was all roses, dripping in diamonds, sipping on champagne. She was all uptown wearing that white gown, taking his last name.
bells ringing, ringing. And up in the loft, that whole choir singing, singing. Fold your hands and close your eyes. Yeah, it's all gonna be alright. And just listen to the church bells ringing, ringing. Yeah, they're ringing. Denny was hosting junior league parties and having dinner at the country club. Everyone thought they were Ken and Barbie, but Ken was always getting way too drunk. Saturday night, after a few too many, he came home ready to fight, and all his money could never save Jenny from the devil living in his eyes. It was all bruises, covered in makeup, dark sunglasses. And that next morning, sitting in the back pew praying with the Baptist, she could hear those church bells ringing, ringing, and a whole choir singing, singing. Fold your hands and close your eyes. Yeah, it's all gonna be alright. You just listen to the church bells ringing, ringing. Ever gonna find, and how he died is still a mystery. But he hit a woman for the very last time. She could hear those church bells ringing, ringing. He's standing there in a black dress, singing, singing. Fold your hands and close your eyes. Yeah, it's all gonna be alright. And just listen to the church bells ringing, ringing.
Church bells, Carrie Underwood. Will that be part of One Night in Texas? Well, we need to find out, and we'll find out by actually asking from One Night in Texas, the legendary Deanne Dexeter. How are you, Deanne?
Oh, well, I don't know if I've been called legendary before. I quite like it, though.
Very important.
I'm very well, thank you. I was loving that. I love a bit of Carrie. She's one of my favourites.
Well, you can thank Alex in the studio. That's other Alex for making that choice and suggestions. Toe-tapping, wonderful well, stuff. And as
well,
we say,
Alex can come to a show anytime he wants.
Well, that's nice. But once again, the gender confusion has actually sort of worked through that basis. Exactly.
Happens a lot.
Yeah. It's okay. Work through that whole process. We were saying, of course, that Tessa Snart from indeed the Siren Radio Ranch has her regular Country in the Kitchen podcast, as well as, of course, her show, which was Sound and Country Vision. It sounds as though One Night in Texas, literally Nashville, may be the home of country music, but everything is bigger in Texas, is very much at the heart of this. So would you like to share with us why this is an awesome event that anybody who's got any slight liking for country music could not avoid and shouldn't avoid?
I mean, the reason we say that it's so big is because it's a 9-piece band, as standard, plus the 3 singers, which just makes it a huge on-stage performance, and nothing is missed out. So I think a lot of places, a lot of shows that you go to, obviously it's difficult to have your live pedal steel, your banjo player, your fiddle player. It's hard to get that many people into one stage. So it's quite nice to be able to see the whole shebang. And we play all the classics that you know and love, right from the 60s, 70s, 90s, mainstream. So we cover a whole range of country music, and it's just a great fun night out.
The biggest country music tribute show in the UK, an amazing night of country music hits featuring, as you just said, an all live band. Needless to say, we need to ask you, what favourites do you have yourself from the country music scene, Deanne?
Oh, okay. So are we talking UK country scene, or are we talking just country music in general?
I think we're talking country music in general, and we can clearly say it's not country and Western, although maybe you would actually say, yeah, we still have some country and Western classics in there as well.
Oh, yeah, we definitely have a lot of country and western classics. It's mainly the classics that we've included in the show, to be honest, you know, from Dolly Parton and Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, because you just can't have a country music show without including those legends.
It's pretty tough. I mean, you know, if we're looking at Dolly Parton, are we looking at Here You Come? Are we looking at Jolene? Are we looking at High Sierra? Are we looking at To Know Him? Are we looking at My Blue Tears? Are we looking at...
You need to come along to a show and find
clearly,
out, right?
Clearly, exactly. There's the classic lines here.
There's just so many that you could choose from, isn't there? I mean, she's just an absolute legend. She is probably my all-time favourite, but I think anyone that loves country music loves Dolly, because she's just a legend, isn't she? And I was just actually noticed a minute ago, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the G word, but obviously the big festival that was on over the weekend.
They try to do the sort of things that the New Theatre Royal Lincoln do on A Matter of Course, but you know, it's okay. You know, just I mean, Paul McCartney obviously got the place wrong. He was due to actually be doing Lincoln, he decided to actually go after Glastonbury. It's so understandable.
It was actually 8 years ago today that Dolly Parton played her like legendary set there to like 180,000 people. Yeah. I think she had one of the biggest crowds going. Yeah. So, you know, everyone loves Dolly, don't they?
Just goes to show that White Farm scenario, what they've actually built up in so many ways. And now they actually just have to cope with Bruce Springsteen making an appearance, but what the heck? So it goes. So before we actually find out more about One Night in Texas, go on. What personal favourite Dolly Parton number would you like us to insert into this little segment?
Okay. So I can have any.
Well, within, I mean, if the system says it's here, you can have it. Basically, that's all I'm saying.
I think let's go with a nice. Have you got Coat of Many Colours?
You know, tragically, we do. It's.
You don't like that one?
No, of course. Look, it's a classic. I mean, it's one that basically the hankies might need to come out just to actually share. I mean, the tale of a child. I mean, it's Patches by Clarence is another one, which is great. That's not really country, but I suppose in so many ways it kind of epitomises the state of austerity 3.0 that both America and indeed Britain are currently going through. Maybe A Coat of Many Colours is actually a very timely song. And after all, when all's said and done, it is your selection, Deanne Dexter.
Or just Islands in the Stream.
No. They're set up. They're ready to go. Coat of Many Colours. Prepare to be emotionally drained.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth, I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, well, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told him all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told him all the story mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me, made just for me,
made just for her. Coat of many colors. No, oh, it gets me every time. I mean, I don't know, Ollie, coat of many colors.
I'm just about holding it together over here, actually. Yeah.
So, Alex, what about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'll come back to you when I'm dealt with myself.
Come out the corner, Alex.
You see, Deanne, what happens when we do that random element that's introduced there? You think, what? Where's it going? It's so. What brought you into country music, Deanne? Was it something that you'd always loved and grown up with, or was it something where you kind of thought, well, hip hop was never quite for me, and you know, going down this particular route?
I've been singing country music for quite a long time now. Mm-hmm. What happened was when I was growing up, nobody did introduce me to country music. It didn't work like that for me. I was just more into sort of the big power ballad singers like Celine's and Whitney's and all that kind of thing. When I was learning to sing, I wanted to be like them. Mm. And then I joined a band, and we were not really sure what we were doing. I had not really sang live before, but these guys that I joined, they were already in a band, and they wanted to sort of go down a soft rock route, and that wasn't really working for me. And I think just naturally my voice sounds quite country. And then after we'd spent a couple of years together sort of writing music, we hadn't really decided what genre we were or anything like that, but we applied to play at a festival which was called the Country to Country Music Festival in London at the O2, and they chose us to play. So from that day on, we were a country band. And that's kind of how that happened.
And I think it's fair to say that country music itself has changed tremendously. I mean, a lot of people saying that the artists who are their gateway to country music, people like Taylor Swift, of course, who would kind of have come from the Taylor bracket as well as other sort of zones. But interesting is how that's coming together. Are you looking forward to performing at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln?
Yeah, we really can't wait. It's going to be a great night. You need to all come out on a Tuesday night and have a great time. It's still quite a fairly new show for us. We've been doing it since sort of the start of the year. So I think a lot of people are still sort of they haven't heard about us yet, you know, or they're iffing and ahhing because it's a new show. But actually,
don't if, really don't ah, just get out there.
Yeah. Sorry?
Don't if, don't are, just get out there. You know? Can't be doing with ifing and ahhing, really.
It's a really great time. We've had some brilliant feedback from the shows that we've done so far. And all the bands, we all love playing with each other on stage there. It's great fun, especially to be playing with, you know, like I was saying before, the fiddle and the pedal steel. Like, that's a real treat because as a singer, because you don't get to do that very often. So... So get your cowboy hats on and your cowboy boots and come along.
Is there any sign of a Hawaiian guitar there?
I'm afraid not, no.
Thank God. Exactly. That's what we say. Because that again, was one of the cliched times of, you know, my dog up and dad left me this morning. I'm just going to cry. You know, it's just, it's bad. It's bad.
I could listen to a whole radio show of that, I tell you.
It's not going to happen, not on Royal Radio. Different line completely. Alex, any questions you'd like to put to our ace country singer?
I mean, obviously you've only been doing the show since the start of the year, as you say, but do you have a particular favourite moment of the show? Either, you know, a moment amongst yourselves in the band that you think, oh yeah, this is really fun, or a particular song at all?
Oh, that's a good question. I think because we're still finding our feet, there's moments in every show which are quite funny, where we all sort of look at each other as if to say, do you know what's happening? Because I don't. You know, so that's quite funny. The other singer that's in the show, Biddy Rennell, I've actually worked with her for a few years previously in a different production. So we kind of have this on stage thing where we know what each other's going to do before we even do it. So it's quite nice to know that we've got each other's backs. And there was a particular moment in the show recently where one of us had got quite confused about where we were in a song and looked at the other as if to say, please help me. So it was quite, and I'm not going to say which way round it was, you'll have to guess.
The key thing is the show goes on. It carries on regardless. Being professional.
So that's quite nice to know that we've got each other's backs, and if something does happen, which sometimes it does because we're only human. But yeah, that was just quite a funny moment that we had in the show. Favourite song-wise, I think... mine changes quite a lot, actually. I think at the moment it's Rodeo Man, which is but it's
that's why you enjoy that one. You get to relax for a bit.
Yeah, that's it. I can sit on the side and swig my beer. What you do, isn't
and
it, when you're in a
any intentions of taking one night in Texas to Texas, going international?
I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? But I figure that they've got quite a lot of Texas musicians out there, so they might not need us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be happy to go, as long as they didn't throw any rubbish at us or anything.
It's very important. Yeah. Exactly. Very important to work through that. Again, 19th of July, One Night in Texas at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. How can people actually follow the band and extravaganza through other areas? Are you on the socials by any chance, Deanne?
We are. We're on all the socials. Just look for One Night in Texas. We're on Facebook and Instagram and all of that. Or you can just visit our website, which is onenightintexas.com, and you can see the list of all the other dates that we've got coming up.
There we are. Ollie, are you looking forward to One Night in Texas in Lincoln?
I've got my Stetson at the ready, so yeah, I'm going to be there.
And again, classic cliche numbers. Do you at any time during the course of the show, Deanne, use the words or expressions yee-haw or y'all come back now?
We absolutely do.
Well, that's nice to hear. You know, let's see exactly. These are classic lines. Okay, we mentioned Johnny Cash. Any particular Johnny Cash number you'd like us to go out with at this stage?
Let's go with something that everybody knows. Let's go with Ring of Fire.
Great choice.
You've gone Ring of Fire. You see, I was thinking Jackson was where you actually had Johnny Cash and June Cash there. I was thinking probably Folsom Pretty Prison Blues might have been another sort of line there. But no, you said enough of stuff, and the song that effectively has had so much written about it and so many sort of jokes made about it, none of which I'm going to repeat here because obviously it's a family-based show. So I will simply actually say, Deanne, would you like to introduce Johnny Cash, sadly no longer with us in physical form, but still looking down from on high, and I'm sure he will be watching One Night in Texas with great affection and appreciation. Deanne, would you like to introduce Johnny Cash with A Ring of Fire? Over to you, Deanne Dexter.
Oh, I don't know. Coming up next, we've got Ring of Fire by the legend that is Johnny Cash.
Yeah, natural. She's natural, absolutely. Spot on. Yeah, no messing about at all.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into
burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
So there it goes. Ring of Fire. You're listening to Royal Radio on Siren Radio, and we're in the last few segments of the little July package we've put together here, even though it's just the end of June as we're packaging this together with a delightful Alex and Ollie from the new Theatre Royal Lincoln. Alex, I've asked you this before. What's your full surname, or your full name, shall we say?
Full name is Alexandra Jackson.
Alexandra Jackson.
I thought we were going to get the middle name for a moment then.
AJ. AJ and Ollie, that's great. It's just got to be a whole new world there, which we need to work on. Lionel Richie is literally being heard at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln the night before One Night in Texas, dancing on the ceiling.
Although, please don't actually dance on the ceiling.
Yeah, stay in the seats at all times. Yeah.
And, of course, Mr. Rich T himself, as he was often referred to, great biscuit scenario, will be producing a whole range of other bits and pieces. This is another wonderful tribute thing. And again, it proves how well these professional musicians actually are in terms of really echoing their particular fond music memories and so on. So are tickets still available for the 17th of July and Lionel Richie?
Yes, we've still got some available for that. Same route, box office, online, etc., etc.
Pleased you said that, because it brings us around to the penultimate track on the show today, which isn't Dancing on the Ceiling. It's not Hello. It's not even Once, Twice, Three Times a Lady in the Commodores. It's Say You, Say Me. Cut across Lionel Richie, but there's still a little bit more to be packed in. So would you like to take us through, Ollie, the final sort of ways in which things that we haven't had a chance to mention deserve an honourable mention as far as July is concerned and the new Theatre Royal Lincoln?
Yeah, we've got some great more stuff. We've got a tribute to Elton John coming. We've got a circus act called Cirque the Greatest Show, which acrobats singing. It's kind of, it includes music from The Greatest Showman and more musical films like Moulin Rouge.
There's Alexandra Jackson actually performing this particular acrobatic scenario.
No, I think it'll be a very interesting show.
Right. I thought as you turned down the dance routine earlier, you might have said I was saving it for the acrobats.
No, I do love a good movie musical, though, so the soundtrack for that show will be fantastic.
Great. And people can find this, of course, by going to newtheatreroyallincoln.com.
ntrlincoln.co.uk, rather, isn't it, in the UK here? Or, yeah, like I say, 01522519999. And we should probably give a shout out to our Comedy Night at the Royal, our in-house production. So we've got three more great comedians: Daisy Earle, Scottish Comedian of the Year, the first female winner of that. Dan Evans has been on Channel 5's Comedy Zone, and Ben Norris, who's been on Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
We've got that. We've got serial killers. We've got Who Killed Agatha Christie? We've got John Gudrum. We've had John Gudrum. And, of course, the wonderful Deanne Dexter. And in the studio, Alexander Jackson and Ollie from the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. Huge thanks. Are we set to do this all again sometime in July?
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
You got it.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see love that money just can't buy. One look from you, I drift away. I pray that you begin to understand. Everything about you tells me I'm your man. I live my life to be with you. No one can do the same.